we'll make a start. It's gone 6:30. Thank you and welcome to this meeting of the Overview and Scrutiny Audit Committee. We do have some guests this evening, and welcome to Rashbol Kangoo, is that right? And Rob Walker from KPMG. You're very welcome. I think most of the members here are used to the emergency evacuation procedure, but just for your benefit, should there be an alarm, we don't think there's going to be one, but it will be real if there is one. There's an emergency exit there and another one out through there, and you've probably already found the facilities. Do help yourself to water and things like that, and welcome. Do we have any apologies for absence? I don't think we should have, because I think everybody's here. So, Councillor Duncan, right, okay, thank you. So moving on to item 3, minutes of the meeting held on the 28th of July, which are on pages 3 to 6. I wasn't at that meeting, so I don't think I can propose them as a true record. I'm hoping that the Vice-Chair will be able to do that.
Yeah, I propose them as a true record.
Do we have a seconder? You've got questions, yeah. Councillor Potter. Okay. Can we have them seconded first, and then we'll take the questions? Thank you, Councillor Gardner. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. My understanding of the minutes is that they're a written record of the meeting, and there seem to be no record of my questions or the answers to the items. There was quite a considerable number of questions on item 17, the internal audit annual report, and 18, the annual governance statement. So therefore, there's no record for future reference, either written or no record for public scrutiny. So why not?
I think there is a record, Councillor Potter, in that the meeting was actually recorded, so there will be an audio recording of those questions. I think the purpose of minutes that we receive at these committees is to record the decisions of the committee, and because we have the recording system, the audio system, we don't actually really need to record everything verbatim. Some of these meetings are very lengthy, the questions are very detailed, and I think we don't actually need to have all that verbatim. We do have a record anyway. Obviously not that happy with that response, but I think that is the case. So
it's highly unlikely that anybody wanting to look at the minutes of a meeting is going to try and dig out the audio recording. I mean, I've chaired quite a number of meetings in my time, and I regard minutes as being a record of what happens at the meeting, and I don't regard these minutes as being a record of what happened at the last meeting, purely and simply.
Thank you for that. As I say, there is an audio recording, and I think if somebody is that keen to listen to it, they will find it. It's available on the website. So thank you. Moving on. The minutes and approval of the minutes as a true record. All those in favour, please vote now. I haven't voted because I wasn't present. So
they're approved.
Thank you. So moving on, item 4, it's not really urgent business, but just a reminder to members that we have another committee next Thursday, and you will have received notification that we're going to meet slightly earlier, so we can do the working party business before the scrutiny meeting. So that's at 6 o'clock next Thursday, just in case you need to remind yourselves of that. Thank you. Item 5, declarations of interest. Do any members have any declarations of interest on matters on the agenda? I take that as a no, thank you. Okay, moving on to item 6, the KPMG external audit report, which Rashbol and Rob are going to present. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. This is our external audit report on 2015-16's work. You'll recall in March 2016 we presented our audit plan, which set out our programme of work. In April we presented our interim findings, and this report we conclude on the audit. At a high level, once we've received a set of final signed accounts, which are the next item on the agenda, and a signed representation letter, which is the following item on the agenda, and all the letter of representation does is confirm from you to us that you've told us everything, you've made all available records, you made all records available to us. Once we receive those, we'll be in a position to issue an unqualified audit opinion. So basically what we're saying there is we're happy your accounts give a true and fair reflection of your financial position. We'll also be able to issue a clean value for money conclusion. So what we're saying there is we're satisfied that you've got adequate arrangements for economy, efficiency and effectiveness in the use of your resources. Rob's going to take you through the detailed findings, but overall, in terms of the outcomes from the audit, other than the clean opinions which I've mentioned, and we identified one amendment, which was only really a disclosure amendment, so taking a figure from one area of the accounts into another area of accounts from short-term to long-term, had no bottom-line impact, and importantly, did not have an impact on the level of resources available to you as a local authority. And there's one resulting recommendation associated with that amendment as well. In terms of your VFM conclusion, there was a significant risk which we reported to you in the audit plan. We reported the findings of that in our interim audit report, and we're satisfied that you've got adequate arrangements for decision making in that respect. I'll now pass you over to Rob, who will take you through the highlight of the issues.
Thanks, Rosh. If I could just draw your attention to page 13 of the report, which is page 19 of your pack, where we just set out some of the more detailed findings. So what we set out there is the accounts production and audit process. Really important to us as external auditors that we're given the right information at the right time, and we were. It was a good process. So we had a good working relationship with our with the colleagues at the council. We have no issues. The working papers that were underpinning the accounts were good, and largely there were no major no major problems with the information that we received. They're the key messages in that sense. On a little bit further on, I can just talk through the recommendation that we made, which is on page 19 of our report and page 25 of your papers. We just made a recommendation relating to the records that underpin Section 106 monies. The issue there being that they're not a standard amount of income, so they vary on year to year depending on different sets of the planning rules that are applicable to the decisions that are taken. And there was just some issues about the record keeping that meant in the accounts we classify those amounts as long or short term, depending upon when effectively that money is likely to be used. And as a consequence of the analysis of that, we suggested a change to the account, which is described on page 20, which is what Rash referred to, which is simply a movement in your liabilities from long to short term. It has no impact upon the overall financial position, but what it does is it just means that the information is presented in accordance with the accounting standards. What I think is also important to say on the next page, on page 21, is that there were no uncorrected audit differences. So we didn't find anything in the accounts process that officers decided not to change. Now, that if that did happen, we would be obliged to say something, but it didn't. Because there are occasions sometimes where, for whatever reason, officers don't agree with our approach, and we can then have a discussion at the audit committee about that. But that was not the case here. We didn't find anything that officers chose not to correct. And similarly, we didn't find anything that we considered to be really material. So actually, the draft version of the year accounts that you were given was materially correct. All right, we have made a change to it, but it didn't have an impact upon the overall financial position. What it meant was the figures were presented more accurately and fully in accordance with the standards.
Thank you. So just taking you through the rest of the document, Appendix 3.
You've moved something from long to short term.
Yes.
What's your definition of the difference between long and short term?
It's 1 year. 1 year or more than 1 year. So if you're expecting to receive the money within 12 months, would expect it to be classified as a short term balance. Right. If it's more than 1 year, it can be. It's a longer term. However, there's an element of judgment involved in actually doing that, so sometimes it's not an absolute science, and that's the thing about, you know, accounts in that sense. The key thing is, when you step back from the overall balance sheet, is are there any serious issues with, you know, have you got too many liabilities as an organisation? Our view is you don't. This is simply about just how you would classify them.
Okay, thank you.
Members, can we just wait until the presentation is finished and then ask questions then, please, just for continuity, so we're not...
Thank you. So just taking you through the remainder of the document, page 29 of your pack, 23 of our document, sets out our independence, and this is important. So how can you trust the work that we're doing? Well, this confirms our independence. We're required to be independent. This confirms we are independent, and there's no relationships, including fee relationships, that would impinge on that independence. And the next page, page 25, kind of confirms our fee arrangements with the local authorities. You'll see the only fees that we've generated are the fees that we're appointed to for the external audit, that whether that's the housing benefits claim at just over £11,000 or the actual fee for the audit, which is £45,000 or just over, which is slightly higher than the scale fee, but the adjustment has been approved by public sector audit appointments, and that's the additional work that we did around the significant risk for the VFM conclusion. So that concludes our presentation of our report to those charged with governance, and as I said at the beginning, we'll be in a position, once we receive signed statements and a signed representation letter, to issue a clean VFM and a clean audit opinion for 2015-16.
Okay, and you're happy to take questions? No. Yeah. Okay, do any members have questions, please? Councillor Potter?
Yeah, we've got page 13 and page 23 referring to the Wentworth Street car park and the decision or the judgment of Justice Dove that officers misled the planning committee. And I apologise for being the new boy, but I've never heard any adequate explanation or any sort of follow-up to this. And so this is the first opportunity I've really had to ask. So what lessons have been learned from this judgment of officers being misled? And are the processes in place to prevent any repeat of such a incident?
If I can tackle that from our audit perspective, so this falls under the remit of our value for money conclusion. So clearly there was a decision taken there that we considered as a significant risk to our audit, because it could have potentially had, the risk for us was, is the issue that's raised by that judgment indicative of the decision making of the local authority? So what we did under our VFM work, we undertook a programme of work considering that issue and considering your arrangements for decision making. We came to the conclusion that that particular issue wasn't systematic or indicative of your decision making process, therefore we were satisfied with your decision making process, and therefore we could give you effectively a clean value for money conclusion in respect of that. So that was in how our remit in terms of that particular issue.
If I could just say, yeah, so in your view, I mean, this to me, if a judgment of that order, where somebody actually says that officers were misled, and this strikes me as a serious lack of professional judgment. But in your view, this is something that isn't likely to be repeated.
Yes, in terms of the VFM conclusion, our remit is to look at the arrangement. So we're happy that actually, in terms of your arrangements, you've got adequate arrangements for decision making. So now, difficult for us to predict future arrangement, future decisions, and but if your decisions are taken using the decision making process you've got in place, that should lead to informed decision making. So really, in terms of that, that's as far as our remit goes in terms of our statutory audit.
Thank you. Do any other members have questions? Okay, well, thank you very much for presenting your report. Our next item is our internal report, which Peter's going to present to the committee.
Thanks, Chair. So this agenda item is the statement of accounts itself. I sent out a number of documents separately to the agenda last week, one of which was an accompanying note to the statement of accounts, which I hope members found useful. And if you didn't, please, I would value your feedback on that. In the note, I alluded to the fact that it's not easy to work out the authority's financial position against its budget from the statement of accounts. Most of the comparative data within the document compares actual spend in the previous year with actual spend in the current year. And in addition, there are certain transactions which are within the general fund relating to pensions and capital which don't impact on usable reserves and can make interpreting the income expenditure account difficult. And it's an area which has been reviewed by SITFA at the moment. Within the narrative report on page 38 of the agenda, reference is made to a £650,000 budget surplus for the year. And they also sent out to members a final outturn budget monitoring report, which was presented to Resources Working Party on the 8th of September. This report identifies the main variances during the year which make up the £650,000 budget surplus. As reported throughout the year, the biggest underspend has been on salaries, and that's because we're preparing ourselves for the next round of budget savings in 16-17. So this surplus has been transferred to the new homes bonus reserve, and that was always the intention. That will go some way to replacing the £958,000 of new homes bonus approved at full council to support the cost of change through the towards 2020 process. Looking at some of the other items within the statement of accounts, in terms of the capital programme, this year saw us make our final contribution to the scheme of works on the Pickering flood defences. We continued with a high demand for our disabled facilities grant scheme, and we further rolled out the programme of IT infrastructure works approved by Council 2 years ago. In terms of financing, we didn't undertake any further approved borrowing during the year, and this was discussed at the last meeting of this committee linked to the Treasury outturn agenda item. As a billing authority, the Council operates a collection fund on an agency basis, which records the transactions relating to Council tax and business rates. 15-16 was the third year of the new business rates retention scheme and the second year of our membership of the North Yorkshire business rates pool. So Rydale's share of business rates income ended the year roughly in line with our predicted figures. Members may recall that in the first year of the business rates scheme, the council was faced with a significant deficit as a result of an appeal. Because of the way the retention scheme works, it's taken 3 years for the full effect of that deficit to impact through the accounts. Members may recall that in year one, the council set aside funds into a collection fund equalisation reserve, and we've been drawing down on those funds each year to negate the impact of the deficit on the general fund. The level and value of outstanding appeals continues to be an issue. And we spent a lot of time calculating a provision for outstanding appeals based on historic data, but there is still a risk that successful appeals could have a higher financial impact on the collection fund than we've provided for in the accounts. As part of the CPC process that we're going through at the moment, we looked at business rates in some detail. We've got 2,883 businesses, I think, on the business rate system. The top 10 businesses in Rydale, which account for 0.35% of our business rate base, generate a third of all our business rates income. So you can see that the potential for a significant appeal from one of those businesses can have a really serious impact on the authority. On a positive note, once again, the council benefited from membership of the North Yorkshire Business Rates Pool. This year, the benefit was £120,000 compared to £60,000 in the previous year. So that's worked well for us, and we're continuing the pool in this financial year. Looking at the balance sheet, well, following a full revaluation of assets in 14-15, we've undertaken a partial revaluation of the council's assets, and we've looked at investment properties and surplus assets. We're required to revalue these particular assets on an annual basis, and this has resulted in an overall fairly minor adjustment to the value of those assets. We've also seen a downward movement in the pension liability, matched by a decrease in the pension reserve of around £2 million, and this is largely due to a reduction in assumed interest rates between 14-15 and 15-16. Increases and reductions in the pensions liability and the value of assets are represented by movements in unusable reserves. So these transactions don't affect the cash back reserves of the authority at the end of the financial year. I've already discussed one of the movements in terms of new homes bonus in earmarked usable reserves. Members can see a full explanation of all the movements on usable reserves on page 68 of the agenda at note 8. The annual governance statement was a proof for inclusion within the statement of accounts at the last meeting of this committee, and it's obviously now included within the main body of the statement of accounts, and the action plan is at page 108 of the agenda. I'm happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you for that. Do members have any questions? Councillor Potter?
Just to keep up tradition.
Page 38, where you mentioned that this surplus of £650,000 for the financial year has been allocated to the council's new homes bonus reserve. Whose decision was it to put it in that bonus reserve?
I've got delegated authority for the proper financial administration of the council, but it will go for approval to Policy and Resources Committee tomorrow.
Do you have any further questions, members? No? Okay. Oh, sorry, Councillor Wainwright.
Yes, Chair, they do reflect the fixed allowances that officers receive. They don't reflect the general travel and subsistence that's incurred every year. Yes, certain officers are classed as essential users, and they receive an essential user allowance, but they receive a lower pence per mile rate for the travel.
Do you have any further questions? No, I've got one, which is on page 117. You've explained, obviously, that we've paid the last instalment for the flood defences, on the flood defence allowance, that we've paid the last amount for Pickering. But as members of this committee are aware, we're looking at, we've got a review of flooding before the council, and we're looking at this committee, and we're looking at recommendations going forward on the back of the review. Should this committee make a decision to recommend to full council that we do make some contribution to flood alleviation in the district, where would that funding then be found as we've reduced it in the capital programme?
Well, the main source of funding, I think, for any flood alleviation projects will be coming from the New Homes Bonus Reserve. We discussed at last resources a working party, having a separate meeting of that committee to look at potential projects for the capital programme for next financial year. So we are looking to pick up any new projects within that which potentially will include flooding.
Okay, thank you for that. Any further questions? No? Yes, I will do my best to answer that question. The negotiations over the tenancies for the Bowls Club have been much more difficult than we expected, but we are drawing them to a close now, and we expect to have a result and be able to get the mortgage in place and get the payment made. Obviously, the delays have caused us slight problems with the mortgage, but we are nearing the end of that process. So. I would hope less than a month. Thank you. Okay, so this report will now go to PNR tomorrow. So can I move from the chair that the committee receives the report? All those in favour, please, Chair. Yes. Thank you. That's unanimous. Okay, moving on to item 8, which is the management representation letter, as Rash and Rob referred to earlier on. This is the agreement between the council and KPMG. I think Rash explained it perfectly well in the first place. Have members had time to read this letter, and are there any questions on it? It's on page 127. Do you want a few minutes, or have members had time to read it already? Take that as you've all read it. Shall I? Does anybody want any few minutes to read to it? Okay, sorry. Rob?
Can I just explain? I mean, it's a standard letter, basically, that so any audit we would do at any sort of auditing body, we ask for management representations, and as Rash indicated, what it's about is you setting out your responsibility to provide us with accurate information. Our job is to audit the accounts, it's not to prepare the accounts, and this sets out that specific responsibility, but it is the standard letter. There's no, if we'd put anything extra in because we were unsure about something, which again does happen sometimes, we'd draw that to your attention, but that's box standard.
Thank you. So it's just down to the committee to receive that letter and to vote on it. So could you all vote now, please? Again, that's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, item 9. Any other business? I'm afraid you're probably very pleased to hear that I've no other business this evening. So thank you very much for your attendance.